Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio for this drive time hour of Tipping Point. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We're going to talk about the opportunity and importance of religion and our culture right now, a continuation of a case for American optimism. Does Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor, agree? What is the future of faith in America post-pandemic? We'll talk about that a little bit, as well as talk about what he is talking to his faith community about, a part of our ongoing series, Wisdom for Weird Times, Making Sense of a Senseless World, an often senseless world. That'll kick us off today. We'll finish the hour with a conversation with the president of the University of Arizona, Bobby Robbins, on the first day of the spring semester today. Classes reopen. We'll talk about the policy around that. We'll talk about COVID testing. We'll get to some football and basketball as well. A wide-ranging interview with President Bobby Robbins, University of Arizona. That's our show today. You can call in 790-2040. It's a 520 area code, of course, 790-2040, to join our conversation today. Again, more than ever, I am valuing the opportunity of live local radio, talk about real issues with real people in real time, in real ways. You just don't see too many places where this can happen anymore, and it is a gift. I enjoy doing it with you every day, and thanks for hanging out with us. 790-2040, be our guest. Join the conversation on our live line, and that's where we're headed now to kick off our hour, our live line. Pastor Jeff Loxton is in the green room, ready for our conversation today. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Zach.
Looking forward to our conversation today for sure, in the sense that I've been talking about this concept of the case for American optimism, and the writer of it, a guy by the name of Joel Kotkin, made a couple interesting remarks. I forwarded them to you because I thought, why not get a pastor's opinion on this? But he references the future of faith as I've been talking about it, and here's what he says. I want to read this and get your thoughts on it. What will now have to take place? He said, in the good news, in the wake of all this, religious institutions, which have had a poor decade with declining adherence, may soon enjoy a resurgence. Religion has often thrived in the wake of pandemics and other disasters, and it was the plagues of the early Christian era, speaking to Christianity in particular, that did much to promote its ascendancy. What will now have to take place is a different kind of spiritual reawakening, more a matter of personalized digital choice than regular attendance. In contrast to in-person attendance, the virtual variety is booming. The need is there. According to Pew, a quarter of Americans, Pastor, say the pandemic has bolstered their faith. Being stuck in lockdown for months has reminded us what really matters, like faith, family, and community. This is stuck in an article, Pastor, that is wide-ranging, the future of work, the future of politics, the future of our world, by a longtime sociologist, urbanist, and geographic expert. It was interesting to see this kind of put into this article. What are your thoughts? Do you see a different kind of spiritual reawakening happening? Do you see on the ground those Pew results that a quarter of Americans in the pandemic bolstered their faith?
Yeah, reading the article was fascinating. I think there's so many directions that the discussion can go, but I think what the writer was leaning towards was local churches recreating themselves and how they are reaching a broader audience. And I think at the core, whenever humanity is faced with something that forces us to be introspective and reflective and search for answers, people do at their core turn towards faith. And, you know, listeners may challenge that, but I think some of the more interesting conversations about God happen in the local bars and taverns from people who don't attend church. And so I know when we're challenged with situations like the ones we've seen in 2020, people do turn to the church. And so the question really is for for the church and even for those searching it, it does this work? Is this real? And so I think authenticity, a winsome spirit are things that people who are turning towards the church are searching for. And so on the flip side of that, for the church that is not providing those things, I think there is an opportunity to step up and to fill that void. And we're also seeing churches close because either they're not able to make that technological gap or bridge that divide technologically, or maybe that wasn't who they were in the first place. And so there's a disparity between the church and the needs of the community that they're in.
Yeah, this is so interesting, and it really speaks to unscripted, unprompted, why we do this in the midst of all the people, politics, issues, ideas we talk about week to week. We kind of had this gut hunch that it's during times like 2020 and what 2021 has been so far, where people try to get a bigger picture view of what is this life all about. Again, according to Pew, a quarter of Americans say the pandemic has bolstered their faith. What is the future of faith? You lead a faith community here in Tucson, Hope City Church. You are a pastor. This is what you've committed your life to. How is church going to change, right? We call you our faith and culture contributor. You drop wisdom and sense in a senseless world, but you also speak to the cultural moment we're in now too, Pastor. How is how you do church about to change here moving forward from the pandemic? What has shifted that will never go back to being the same again?
Well, a parallel I think of when you think back to 9/11, there was a comment made in circle after the landscape of America was forever changed. And I don't know that people fully imagined what that meant for airports and security across the board as a result of 9/11. People flooded churches wondering if this was the time where the Lord would come back for those that ascribe to that. And I certainly do. I think to your point right now, churches have to change the ways that they're reaching the community. And so that means online churches that have said they would never go online are forced to address that to be able to continue to communicate with people. But I also think something that was a core part of my thought process was church isn't just relegated to Sunday morning between those few hours or Sunday evening whenever people tend to worship corporately. It is Monday through Saturday, and I've always felt like Sunday was just the starting line. So how does the local church, how do the people who are part of the local church interact with their community in ways that are genuine, in ways that are relevant Monday through Saturday so that we are truly outside of the walls? And I think being outside of the walls is the core shift that we're seeing right now.
Any forecasts on what that outside the walls work is going to look like in 2021? We might hit on this a little bit in this segment, but as you're processing this as a pastor of a local church, getting outside the walls, I think everybody agrees. Even this article points to it, that personalized digital choice may, at least in the short term, overtake regular attendance. What does that look like, and how does the church get outside the walls? How would you project what that's going to look like?
Yeah, so I mean, there's two directions I could go with that. One, in a very simplistic way, is churches can't measure who's in the chairs and what, you know, what giving looks like for those that measure those things. I think it is measured by the interactions, and that's more abstract. You know, I think what we've tried to do is say, who are the people that we need to connect with, and a lot of those people aren't quote unquote members of the church. That's a word that really disturbs me, because membership is associated with who's in and who's out, and I think the church needs to be about people in general. I understand the idea behind membership because you have limited resources, but I think churches getting outside of the walls are seeking truly to help people in as much as they have the resources and availability to help people. And so it redefines membership. I think the other thing on a broader level is it forces us to look at what's truly important to us and whether that's value. Well, it is values, but what's included in those values as a church and what its core, at its core, what it defines as most important. Now the church has to pick and choose, because the options are unlimited, where it's going to, what hill it's going to die on, and where it's going to meet the felt needs of the community. I'm just speaking for Tucson. Now there's so many, we have to pick and choose which ones are important to us. And I think on our campus that directly relates to children and people who are our most vulnerable youth.
Let's go to a first break here. Let's pause the conversation here. When we come back with Faith and Culture contributor on this show, Pastor Jeff Loxton, we'll hint at some of what he just mentioned. Right now, the country is focused on the wrong conversations and getting into the weeds on arguments that are divisive. I'm quoting you, Pastor Jeff Loxton. What does that mean? And what do we do about it? We'll come back on the show and wrap up with that and more. We're just getting started here on 1030 The Voice. This Drive Time Hour. We'll be right back in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
We're the place where Tucson comes to talk. 1030 The Voice.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
The Why I Love Where I Live team has one wish for you this holiday season: to find joy wherever you are. As a local retail store celebrating community, what better way to end a difficult year than by buying your Christmas gifts locally and giving friends and family reminders of what makes Tucson and our community great. From books to jewelry to clothing, hats, gifts for kids, and everything in between, visit the retail store this holiday season at 267 South Avenida del Convento or online at whyilovewhereilive.com. Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Cares Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
And we're back in the 1030 The Voice studio. This Drive Time Hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And we're back with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton. In the midst of all the politics, policies, issues, ideas, stories we talk about, we take a few minutes every week to reflect a trend during times like these challenges around pandemic and politics and society, where people really take a step back, whether they are of faith or not, and try to see the 30,000-foot view and make sense of an often senseless world. Wisdom for weird times, it's provided to us us by our faith and culture contributor again, Pastor Jeff Loxton. According to Pew, a quarter of Americans say the pandemic has bolstered their faith. We discussed that and more in the first segment. Pastor Jeff Loxton, give us a glimpse of what the conversation's been like at your congregation of faith, Hope City Church. And tell us about this moment as well. You make the case, and please get to this before we're done, the country may be focused on the wrong conversations and getting into the weeds on arguments that are divisive. Tell us what you mean, and how do we get out of that?
Yeah, you know, there's a scripture that's often communicated, especially in times like this, and it comes from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." And the reason I mention that is because as I've listened this last week, January 6th, and the events that have unfolded, the common message that has been communicated is America first, America first. And I think that statement, America first, apart from partisanship, while I think we as Americans would say absolutely, still falls short of a humanity that is focused on yet higher higher perspective or a greater view. And so I think what that is what does it look like for a nation that puts God first? And so for us, you know, I don't, as a church, it's hard to lead people because we have very different perspectives represented online and in person for those that come in person on both sides of the political aisle. And if we choose to engage that conversation, it would tear the community apart. It would tear the church apart. And I think this is a time where, as we alluded to in the first segment, that we need to get back to what's truly most important to us as a family, whether that's the nuclear family or the family that we've chosen in the absence of a nuclear family. And so for us, it's saying, how can we be relevant to the people that are around me, help that healing begin?
I have so many questions and limited time. It sounds, we didn't talk about this ahead of the show, but it sounds like you're beating the drum that I've been beating, that the answer to so many of our questions nationally is a doubling down on our communities and our neighbors and our neighborhoods locally. Let's definitely go there, and if we have a chance to circle back, we can. In a city that has an abundance of churches and nonprofits and organizations that are serving and serving well, how does the church step in and step up, and how can people, individuals, listeners listening, be a part of that relocalization of our efforts, our politics, and our policies?
Well, as you say, that one thing stands out. Oftentimes, churches like to say, if I will do this if you do that. So, for example, you know, when we're able to serve breakfast on Sunday mornings, I will serve breakfast if you attend the Sunday service. I will fix your house if you become a member at our church. And I think, you know, when you look into Scripture and who Jesus was, it was never an I'll do this if you do that. It was I'll do this because it's the right thing to do. I'll do this because I care about you. I'll do this because we're humans, and if I were in your shoes, I would want somebody to do the same for me. And so I think hopefully one of the shifts happening within churches is I will do this unconditionally because it is what I believe God would want me to do. And I think when we do things apart from strings attached or proselytizing, it opens people up to the sincerity of the relationship. And whatever God wants to do with that over time is between God and that individual. And I just find that it's really interesting and exciting to be a part of that process. Not everybody makes that decision or that step of faith, but that's between them and God. And at the end of the day, I just want to know that I've done everything that I could with the opportunities that are in front of me.
If somebody listening goes, I want to be a part of this, but I don't know where to start, how is Hope City Church trying to be a hub or a starting point to do some of the legwork to get people involved in ways maybe they are unsure of how to do on their own or right away?
Yeah, and you know what? Hope City Church is one of so many great churches, not just in our community, but across the nation. And so I've never felt it was exclusively about Hope City, and that's not even why I'm here with you on this program. But I think for those looking, what is important to you? Is it something for your children? Is it have to do with mental health? Does it have to do with reaching the homeless? Maybe it is political. There are different churches with different bents, that align with you and whatever your passion is. And so I think determine what your passion is and where you want to make a difference, and talk to different pastors and find out which church is digging into that area and trying to meet that need in the community.
Pastor Jeff Loxton, any final words on how our Tucson and Southern Arizona listeners and or people of faith who are listening, any final thoughts on how we respond to this cultural and political moment as Tucsonans and Americans? How do we get through this? Any final thoughts before we close with you?
Yeah, no, I just think take time to sit and reflect and determine what's important to you, and finding a church that is in alignment with you and your values is like finding a life mate or a good counselor. It does take time, but be willing to put in the time, because it's worth it and absolutely life-giving when you make that connection. We're at HopeCityChurchTucson.com. If you want to look us up, that web address is HopeCityChurchTucson.com.
HopeCityChurchTucson.com. Pastor Jeff Loxton, as always, thank you for your time on Wednesday mornings. Again, as we respond to this cultural moment where people during times like this so often try to make sense of an often senseless world and find wisdom for weird times. Thank you for your contributions as our faith and culture contributor. And again, I encourage any of our listeners to contact you offline or to connect with you at Hope City Church to figure out how to be a part of the things that you talked about this morning. So Pastor Jeff Loxton, one more time, thank you so much.
Thanks, Zach.
We're now going to head towards our final break of the, well, not our final break, it's our bottom of the hour break. We're going to talk to some sponsors and hear some bottom of the hour news. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the current stories of the day really quick in preparation for our final section of this show, where we'll talk with University of Arizona President Bobby Robbins. It's the first day of the spring semester. Classes open today here at the University of Arizona. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about COVID testing. We'll also talk about football and basketball. Now that we are a few weeks into the hire of Jed Fish as the new U of A football coach, how's that going? So much more. We're going to pack a lot in to a few minutes with U of A President Bobby Robbins. That and so much more coming at you on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere here on 1030 The Voice. You're listening to Tipping Point. We'll be right back.
At the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
The Why I Love Where I Live team has one wish for you this holiday season: to find joy wherever you are. As a local retail store celebrating community, what better way to end a difficult year than by buying your Christmas gifts locally and giving friends and family reminders of what makes Tucson and our community great. From books to jewelry to clothing, hats, gifts for kids, and everything in between, visit the retail store this holiday season at 267 South Avenida del Convento or online at whyiloveWhereILive.com.
Hot, then cold, back to warm. This winter looks to be a drier and warmer one with intermittent cold snaps. So it's more important than ever to make sure your heating and cooling unit is working well. Ultra Air Conditioning can help make sure everything's working properly, pumping clean and purified air in your home as we head into the holidays. Give us a call at 520-392-8008 to hear about this Ultra Cares Clean Air Bundle and our partnership with Ben's Bells. Don't go hot or cold this holiday season. Call 392-8008.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. This drive time hour, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. If you just joined us, we wrapped up a few minutes ago with our conversation with faith and culture contributor on the program, Pastor Jeff Logsdon, talking about the future of faith, as I like to talk about it here. What does the future of faith look like as we come out of a pandemic-consumed year of 2020 and the political moment of 2021? Going forward, what is the future of faith? We talked about that, and also how does the church, how do people move forward in this moment? So some good words, wisdom for weird times. We talked about that. You can catch it on the podcast. About 9:45 or so, we will shift over to a conversation with U of A President Bobby Robbins. Again, if you're just joining, to put that on your radar, we'll talk about a variety of topics and pack as much as we can into a 15-minute conversation here on a busy day at the U of A, as it's the first day of classes, spring semester. So we'll catch up with President Robbins on that. The big story of the day in the meantime that I will just get your thoughts and chat about for a minute. You can give me a call, 790-2040. Sometimes it's hard to fit in calls in fast-paced, quick, short conversations like we'll have with Bobby Robbins, but at least until then, the phone lines are open, 790-2040. Of course, this morning at I think it was 9 a.m. Eastern time, the House of Representatives began the process of impeachment of President Trump, which of course would have to, if passed by the House, would have to go to the Senate. It looks like at this point we're following the story as everybody else is and trying to make sense of what's going on, is that we're seeing a number of both House representatives and senators on the Republican side, at least. We know the Democrats are pretty lockstep on this process, but Republicans starting to warm to this. It's been very interesting to watch the number of high-level Republicans in the House and the Senate very much turn against the president in these final days. I was remarking to someone yesterday that I'm surprised at how fast it happened and what the depth of it is. Now, to me, there's a division between Republican leadership and the base of the Republican Party. I think the base of the Republican Party, the Republican voter, the majority are still very much backing President Trump by the numbers that I'm looking at. But Republican leadership are starting to shift, and that's very interesting. Some questions that have come up that I thought the answers were interesting to: can Congress impeach President Trump a second time? The answer is yes. The Constitution provides for that. Now the dynamics of this impeachment process are interesting. I'll give you my thoughts on to impeach or not by the end of this segment. But the Senate is currently adjourned. And it will not come back together until January 19th. So if the House sends over an article for impeachment, which I fully expect it will do, the trial cannot start until the president's last full day in office at the earliest. Now, this part is interesting. This is just an interesting FYI as I've been looking into this. I didn't know this before. If the Senate does go to a trial and does convict the president, he obviously can't be removed from an office that he doesn't hold. But the Senate could do a follow-up vote. Will they? Should they? I'm not saying anything about that. I'm saying the procedure-wise, there is the possibility that the Senate could hold a follow-up vote immediately after a trial, subject only to a simple majority, right? So they only need a majority of the vote to ban the president from ever seeking office again, which would weigh into would President Trump consider a presidential run in 2024. These are the punishments, if you will, that the Senate could consider as part of an impeachment conviction. So again, I thought that it was really interesting. As we speak today, the House is considering articles of impeachment. If that happens, it goes to the Senate. The Senate can't do anything until the day before the inauguration. If the Senate does move forward, it's largely symbolic. Perhaps the only substantive thing that could happen is a barring of the president from ever running again. Now, what's interesting is that in November, about 53% of Americans were supportive of President Trump running again in 2024. Now that's down to 40%. We've seen about a 13% drop over the last 30 to 40 days, driven in large part by the events of last week. So very interesting things. Will President Trump run for re-election in 2024, regardless of what happened last week or not? My hunch and what I'm hearing from people who know a lot more than I do is probably not. That would require now President Trump, but obviously in 4 years, not President Trump. But if he were to run again, he would be subjected to certain financial filings and things like that, that a lot of people say the president may, over the next 4 years, tease the idea of a run. Will he run? I don't think it's likely. I especially don't think it's likely now, objectively speaking. But from my lens, this impeachment process is largely symbolic. It's largely not going to have any kind of effect on really anything that matters or anything that would matter. It's a slap on the wrist, for sure. Now, this is not to say whether there is agreement or not with anything that the president has done or not done in the last week. I'm saying procedurally, it's a slap on the wrist. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and this is, again, not any kind of justification for anything, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I am concerned that the cons outweigh any pros related to this impeachment effort. I don't think it contributes in any way to any kind of healing or reconciliation that needs to happen going forward. I think as well, if you are a Democrat and you are watching this, you may like the act in the short term, but why muddle the first 100 days of President Biden's term with this? I just don't see how this is helpful. And I don't think it contributes to healing, to reconciliation, or to moving forward. I think the House is going to file articles. We'll see what happens. We'll know a whole lot more tomorrow. So that's the big story happening right now. Had to speak to it, but wanted to do that. Let's go to our final break of the hour. When we come back, we have President Robbins on the live line in our green room, so to speak, ready to chat with us on opening day, first day of classes, spring semester here at the University of Arizona. We'll cover a wide variety of topics. You don't want to miss it. Come on back. We're going to go to a short break, and we'll be right back here on 1030 The Voice. You're listening to Tipping Point. See you in a minute.
News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
It's the holiday season, and Jones Photo is your partner for giving and getting the gift of great art and photography. Whether it's taking the best family photo this year or printing and framing great shots of the desert Southwest and urban landscapes as amazing gifts, Jones Photo is here for all your photography, framing, printing, and learning and education needs. Don't miss out on the season and support local. Head to jonesphoto.com for more information.
Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is now open to you following COVID safety protocols. Experience the Arizona Biennial, featuring 86 emerging and internationally recognized artists in a variety of media. Shop at the museum store for unique gifts that will stand out this holiday season, from jewelry and accessories to housewares and art supplies, puzzles and games and more. Or give the gift of an annual museum membership to skip gift wrapping and shipping. Visit them at 140 North Main Avenue next to Cafe A La Carte.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio as we wrap up this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and very excited to be joined for the balance of the hour by University of Arizona President Dr. Bobby Robbins. Sir, welcome on the air. How are you today?
I'm well, Zach. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, I appreciate it in the midst of everything you have going on. Specifically, unless I've screwed up my calendar, it's the first day of classes for the spring semester as students return either virtually or in person to classes at the U of A. You made a bit of a policy shift within the last 7 or 10 days around who and how many could come back in person versus moving things back to virtual in terms of the number of cases that we are seeing here in Pima County. Can you give us details on that and the plan going forward for students on campus or not here this spring semester?
Yeah, so even the students that are taking all of their classes, I was just jumping off a Zoom call where we're reviewing it. I think about over 60% of our students will have their classes in an online format in distance learning. But many of them have chosen to come back to Tucson despite the incredible number of cases we've got in Arizona. And so our job is to try to keep them as safe as possible and put the mitigation steps in place. We're dramatically increasing our testing. We're making it mandatory for any students that come on campus that they be tested at least once a week. We've got the capability. We're tripling our capability for testing to approximately 3,000 tests per day. So we estimate that for the start for classes today, there will be 3,800 students that will be going to some form of in-person teaching and learning, and those are for these essential courses that they need to move on in their academic career. Many of our seniors need these classes, whether it's organic chemistry lab or mechanical engineering lab or whatever, that they need hands-on experience, and we think we can deliver that content safely. There's not been any major transmission of cases in the classroom or in our research labs, which we've got over 95% of our research labs going. So we feel confident that in the classroom and on campus, we can mitigate things. The issue, of course, is what people do out in the community. And as you well know, and we all know, we're the number one hotspot in the country for COVID-19 right now.
So far, just 1.7% positivity rate of the testing blitz that has happened so far. This is, I think, a number as of 24 to 48 hours ago. Just for clarification, President Bobby Robbins, University of Arizona president, you mentioned 60% of U of A enrollees have chosen to do online classes from their home, if I heard right, and then the other percentage have decided to come back to Tucson. Of the percentage that are back on campus, what is the percentage of classes that will be still held virtually, even though individuals are on campus? You mentioned some of those essential classes, but are all classes back in person, or what's been the balance of that?
Yeah, I would say that if you look at overall numbers, only about 10% of the students would be in these essential courses. So that would be the stage one that we're entering just today, just like we did last fall. Now, it's in the context of a higher community incidence of COVID-19 infection. But my point was that even students who know that they're going to be taking most of their classes in a distance format, they have chosen to come back to Tucson. Many of them have. We won't know for a couple of weeks how many are actually in Southern Arizona, but last semester, in the fall semester, we had about 30,000 students who chose to come back to Tucson.
Yeah, and you know, I had someone, I think from the Wall Street Journal last semester, come on this program to talk about their research on the impact of students in college towns of our size, the impact of having students back, both positive and negative. What has the conversation been with the city and county, Dr. Robbins, on the on how to make sure that even as things go really well on campus specifically, that we're not contributing to any spread from the campus out into the community? What has that conversation been like during this time?
Yeah, we've got very, very good collaborative partnership with Mr. Huckleberry, Dr. Cullen at the county, Mayor Romero, the city council, the board of supervisors, and we talk multiple times a day. Our incident command is talking to the county's incident command system, and we've got very good collaboration and cooperation. They are very excited about our saline gargle, swish and gargle test that you never have to get, Zach, another swab put up your nose. You can simply take some saline, gargle it, put it in a tube, and we run a PCR and get your results back the same day. So that's allowed us to increase our throughput to about 3,000 tests a day, as I said earlier, and it's actually much less expensive because we're able to use robotic technology and pooling of samples. So the county and city are our trusted close partners, and we're very, very excited that we have been selected as one of the pods, the points of delivery for the vaccine. And we'll begin delivering the vaccine this Friday, January 15th.
I was going to ask you about that. The vaccine distribution has been slow in Arizona. I don't know if you agree, but as someone whose background is in the medical profession, are we going to be able to speed this up? Is this going to happen quicker than it has the last couple months?
Yeah, I think once we get started, then it's all going to be dependent on how much vaccine we get. We're committed to have just-in-time inventory. We've built out this enormous freezer farm to be able to store up to 100,000 doses of vaccine. We want to be able, as soon as we get it, to get it into individuals. So it'll be our 15,000 faculty and staff, all of the faculty and staff of the K-12 schools in Pima County, and our colleagues, faculty and staff at Pima Community College. That's the directive we've been given by the county, and we're thrilled to be able to provide that service to our community.
Dr. Robbins, president of the University of Arizona, my teammate on this, working the board on the other side of the glass, Tom, is going to give me a hard time because I've been talking sports a lot more lately. I was on the air a couple weeks ago, President, when the hiring of Jed Fish as the new football coach for the University of Arizona was announced. Missed breaking that news by about 10 minutes, but that's okay. But, you know, there's been a varying level of excitement about this hire. I think Jed has done an incredible job bringing the community to his side and has made some really great hires. And I'd love to get your thoughts on that as well. The contract seems to be fairly close to previous coach Kevin Sumlin's. And of course, before Kevin Sumlin's, the university, I believe, is still paying off the contract for Rich Rodriguez. I think a lot of people's concern, regardless of their excitement for the future of the program, is the university going to be left holding a bag that is really big should things not go the way they've gone, given that the last couple hires haven't? And just wondering, how much can the university carry on this should it not go as well as we all hope? Can you speak to that issue and maybe why this contract safeguards the U of A in ways others haven't?
Yeah, I think they're all very similar because, you know, we've got to be competitive in the market, and we have to be fair to the coaches as well in terms of giving them some protection. But I do think that there's always a risk when we hire a coach and doesn't go well, that when we make a change to terminate them early, that we're left with the contractual obligations that we've signed. So, you know, that's always a risk. I mean, you know, we have not had a good track record the last two coaches, and you can just look across the country. I mean, it's, you know, ours is devastating to us financially, given the state of finances at all universities. But you start looking across the country at places like Auburn and Texas, and I mean, these are, you know, tens of millions of dollars that are being paid out on these contracts. I favor having a positive incentive of, you know, you do well, and those things are put into Coach Fish's contract, that you're rewarded if you win a conference championship, if you get a certain GPA, and, you know, on and on. So it remains to be an issue in the industry, and I think obviously we don't pay as much as some of these bigger programs do in the SEC and, you know, Big 12, but it's still a lot of money.
For sure. You know, I think one of the things that has brought many people to Jed Fish's side is both his community engagement and also what I think have been some solid personnel hires. Do you agree with both those statements? Have you been surprised or even pleased with his first few weeks here in Tucson?
I've been pleased. I think once people get to know him, he's very engaging. He will talk to you. He'll talk to – he's an open book. Practices will be open. He is very engaging. The alumni, the donors, the people who love the University of Arizona – absolutely love Jed Fish and what he's done in just two weeks. Now, he's made some incredibly good hires with coaches. Certainly, Chuck Cecil and Ricky Hundley are very, very excited to be back on the field, two University of Arizona legends. But Don Brown and Brendan Carroll and others that he's brought in, I think it's a remarkable staff that he's assembled in a short period of time. And I know they're already out there recruiting for the class of 22. There are going to be some big announcements, I think, that are going to surprise people come signing day in February about some of the players that are going to be transferring in and others that will be signed. So I think the future looks very, very bright for Arizona football. But as we always say, that's great. You've got great coaches. You've got good players. Now you got to coach them up and go out and win. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to matter. Obviously, we want to see what Coach Fish is really all about, which is developing our football players into successful individuals in the classroom first and foremost, and then on the field as well. But we want them to get a high-quality education. And he talks about the fifth quarter. What happens when the last whistle blows in the bigger game of life? And we want our young men to be successful, even if they go to the NFL. Once the last whistle in the NFL blows and they enter the fifth quarter of that game even, that they're productive members of society and simply go out and make the world a better place.
President Robbins, University of Arizona, thank you, sir, for making time for us here on the first day of the spring semester, and wish you all the best on campus and here in our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Zach. Good day.